This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 13th of March 2022. Today is the contesting edition of News West, and we give you quite a serving of next weekend's John Moyle Memorial Field Day. And there's also news about other contests coming up, and we talk about some of the things that may make contesting work better for you. The studio team this week is Mike, Roy, Andrew and myself, Bob VK6POP, and I'm the News West producer. We probably all have friends or relatives affected by the floods, and some of our regular listeners may even be affected directly. Chris will tell us about an initiative by a Victorian amateur radio club to assist flood-affected amateurs to restart in the hobby. News West can be heard on air, online and on demand. Visit vk6.net to find out how. And our email address is newswest@vk6.net.
Hello, this is Chris, VK3QB. I'm sure, like me, many listeners will have watched the tragedy unfolding in northern New South Wales and southeast Queensland over the last couple of weeks. Once again, the term unprecedented is being used to describe a natural disaster. This time, it's floods. Well, amateurs have always been generous with resources in times of need, and this is no different. The North East Victoria Amateur Radio Club has risen to the challenge and established a flood recovery initiative. This initiative comprises two elements to assist amateurs directly impacted by the floods. The first and most immediate is cash assistance to those in need. The second is a radio drive to provide equipment once impacted hams start to rebuild their shacks. For more information on this fantastic initiative, head over to the North East Victoria Amateur Radio website, www.nevarc.org.au, and follow the links. This is a true example of the spirit of amateur radio. North East Victoria Amateur Radio Club have already chipped in $2,000, with at least two other national clubs providing financial support. Can you or your club help fellow amateurs in need? Head over to the website www.nevarc.org.au to read all the details. Great work from the North East Victoria Amateur Radio Club. 7-3 from Chris, VK3QB.
How's that for timing? This week is the contesting edition of News West, and next week is the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. Who was John Moyle, and why a field day named after him? The short story is that John Moyle is a bloke who pioneered the use of radio for coordination and communication between and within agencies responding to emergencies. At that time, it was bushfires. Next week is the News West History Edition, and we might run the John Moyle story then, quite appropriately on the weekend of the contest. It's a long story, so we'll see what we can do without losing the flavour of the story. So, because Moyle was all about portable operation, this contest was set in place to commemorate his contribution. The contest therefore has a focus on portable operation. Having said that though, contest entrants may be portable or home-based. You really need to look at the contest rules to make sure you enter the correct category. The rules are on the WIA website. Look under Contesting in the Members section. Portable stations are clearly defined in the rules. A portable station comprises field equipment operating only from a portable power source. Example, batteries, portable generator, solar power, wind power, independent of any permanent facilities, and which is not the normal location of any amateur station. Mains power supply is not to be used for any part of the portable installation, or lightning, or even battery charging. All the equipment for a portable station must be located within an 800 metre diameter circle. Any station operated by a club, group or organisation will be considered to be a multi-operator by default and must not use any of the permanent club facilities. There's a whole lot more in definitions and rules that you should look at. It's not huge legalistic stuff, and easily comprehended. The thing is, this contest is such an easy one to have a go at. So, have a go.
since 1931, providing amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
We spent a lot of time talking about the John Moyle contest, and that's because it's on next weekend, but there's a constant stream of contests coming up. There are very few weekends in the year where there isn't a contest somewhere, so let's take a look at a few that are coming. There's a CQWPX single sideband contest that's on the 26th to the 27th of March, and this contest is based on an award offered by CQ magazine for working all prefixes. They're talking about America there. It's held on the last weekend of March. The contest draws thousands of entries from around the world. The CW version of this contest is in May. The website is cqwpx.com. Then there's the EA RITI contest on the 2nd and 3rd of April, EA, prefix for Spain. This Spanish RITI contest is open to amateurs worldwide. The three power categories are high, which is the maximum allowed under your license, low with a maximum of 100 watts, and QRP with a maximum of 5 watts. As usual, there are rules, and these are on the website in English for you to read. To see the rules, go to the website where the web address is en español, so get out your Google and search for E-A-R-T-T-Y, and you'll find it. Did you get that? E-A-R-T-T-Y. Do a Google on that one and you'll find it. There's a QRP hours contest coming up on the 9th of April. It runs for an hour for CW and an hour for single sideband, so it's on 80 metres and it's good fun. Their website's hopelessly out of date, but set aside the time and hopefully something will be announced from them soon.
The thing about any sort of contest or competition is that to determine a winner, the referees need to compare performances or outcomes. When two armies go to war, they spend time engaged in a slogging match and at the end count up the survivors as a way of keeping the score. It's no different in amateur radio contests, except that we don't usually spend time killing each other. In amateur radio contests, we keep score by counting the contacts we make. Sometimes the rules allow for more points to be awarded for contacts because of distance, time of day, call sign area, or whatever rules the contest manager put in place regarding scoring. In the good old days, the contacts were then listed on a sheet or sheets of paper with rows and columns, and the contacts were written in by hand, usually the time, band, the exchange, usually something like 59123, and perhaps a name and location, although these aren't usually necessary. These are called logs. When computers entered the Radio Shack, software writers started putting logging software together, and today there are many logging software apps available. For the Australian contest, there are two contenders for the best log application to use. The first is VK Contest Logger, which is configured for Australians and some international contests. The future of VK Contest Logger is unknown, as unfortunately its developer died recently. VKCL will remain effective and useful until contest rules change. It's still available for download, and all you need to do to find it is to search for VKCL. VKCL works with OmniRig to both read the status of your radio and to enable you to change bands. It can be used on a network with multiple rigs, all attached to a separate computer. Another popular logging application is N1MM, that's November 1 Mic Mic. This powerful piece of software does just about anything a serious contester wants, including making the coffee. Seriously though, it's a suite of utilities that controls your radios, antenna rotators and more. It's configurable for each contest, and you can usually find the config files where someone else has done the work. You can find a selection of these at vk4sn.com. For anyone at entry level in contests, your best bet, in our opinion, is VK Contest Logger. It has a more user-friendly setup, and the contest rules are built in. An alternative log for the John Moyle contest is, of course, a spreadsheet. There's a template on the WIA website contesting section, but take my word for it, once you've used a logging app that knows the rules, you won't look back. There's another important aspect of logs that people simply don't understand. You must actually send in your log so that it can be checked against everyone else's log. And likewise, everyone else's log is checked against yours. Just think, you write a letter to Uncle George to tell him that Grandma died, but you don't post it. You put a stamp on it, then put it in a shoebox. Uncle George never finds out about poor Grandma and sends her the Christmas card every year. So it's important to submit a log. It's unbelievable how many people take part in a contest but don't send in a log. Submitting a log is so simple. You save your log, then send it to the contest manager attached to an email. In some contests, click on the submit button and the log is uploaded right then. You can do all of this at the close of the contest before you shut everything down. No waiting. So, don't forget or delay sending your log after next weekend's John Moyle contest.
The Flying Pignet was broadcast from the Lancaster Bomber at the Rafa Museum in Bull Creek yesterday. Reg, VK6BQQ, was broadcasting sitting in the radio operator's seat on board the aircraft. This is part of the worldwide celebration of the 80th anniversary of the first sortie by the Avro Lancaster. Special call signs on amateur radio are VK80LAN Australia for all of March, GB80LAN United Kingdom, and will include four operational RAF bases. VE80LAN Canada, which will also be the call sign for the only flying Lancaster in North America. This is also to commemorate the women pilots who ferried these aircraft across the Atlantic and in the UK. Thanks for the information from Reg VK6BQQ.
Have you made your plans for the John Moyle contest? I have. Well, sort of. I've found a partner in crime to work the contest with me, which means we're now running a club station using the call sign VK6ARN. We'll be located approximately 22 kilometres southeast of the lakes, and we'll work all the HF bands, as well as 6 metres, 2 metres and 70 centimetres, phone only. From that spot, we can work a number of metropolitan locations on the VHF and higher bands, and for HF, we have a negative horizon in all directions and an assortment of wire antennas with which to adorn the trees. Where are you planning to operate the John Moyle contest from? If you haven't planned anything, it's not too late. The special event call sign for the 90th anniversary of the Australian Broadcasting Commission, VK90ABC, will be operating for the better part of this year. Amateurs and early broadcasters had a lot in common, and often were the same people. In fact, amateurs were broadcasting music and entertainment for some years before the government began issuing broadcast licences. So that's why amateurs are marking 90 years of the ABC, because early amateurs, often called radio experimenters, we're there in the thick of it until we were sent on our merry way to let broadcasters get on with broadcasting entertainment. A remnant of that parting of the ways remains in our LCD to this day, the bit that says we must not use our radios to transmit entertainment. Back to the special event call sign, if you want to get into the log, you just need to find the call sign on air, and the best way to do that is to look in the DX clusters for a spotting of VK90ABC. We could go a step further and run your own on-air session with the special event call sign. If you jump onto the VK90ABC.net website, you can claim a day for yourself or your club to work some DX and locals. So have a go. Give Auntie a day out in your shack. Now here's a story. At Prawnheads this week, a lovely young lady rocked up to our table and asked if we were the Prawnheads group. We immediately confessed that we are Prawnheads. Yes, we are. Aggie is her name. She'd come to the restaurant the week before, but we were all in Rockingham for a change, so she turned up this week to talk to us. You see, Aggie has a problem with a neighbour using some sort of transmitter that's causing interference with her TV and her fridge, of all things. She's spoken to the neighbour, but he shies away when she gets to the nitty-gritty of the problem. We were able to give Aggie some advice about questions to ask of the body corporate and how to approach the ACMA. We told her that we suspect that the neighbour isn't an amateur operator, as most amateurs would be keen to fix the interference problems in-house rather than having to be involved with the regulator. We explained the difference between amateur radio and citizen band. It turned out that Aggie went in search of someone to get advice from concerning her problem, so she stalked us on Facebook and turned up at our lunch function. How's that, eh? Aggie will keep us informed as to how she's going, and we'll let you know.
Next week, News West will focus on the history of amateur radio, preferably in Western Australia. However, stories from elsewhere are sometimes inserted because they are interesting. Here, at News West, we use material from the scanned copies of Amateur Radio magazine on Will's website and newspaper items at the National Library of Australia's Trove website. Whilst News West will tap into some of this material, the stories would have far more value if written up by someone who was there at the time. Or, better still, to be recorded by someone who was there would be fantastic. The history of amateur radio in WA belongs to all of us, and belongs least of all to News West and the WA Amateur Radio News. Our job is to report the news, not to own it. So, folks, clubs, amateurs, where were you when such and such occurred? How about at least writing the story? There's lots to be told, and there's no better person to tell the tale than those who were there. The deadline for contributions is noon, Friday, and earlier is better if you want us to record it. But how about having a go at recording it yourself? People get good results with smartphones these days. An important aspect of making a good recording is to eliminate, or at least reduce, background noise. Try recording under the doona or in a wardrobe, but make sure your partner doesn't find you or questions might be asked. If you're not confident to edit your recording, send the raw product to us and we'll cut out your ums, ers, ahs and bloopers. We're good at that because we make tons of them ourselves. So how about it? You can contact the News West team by email, newswest@vk6.net.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
While I was writing up this week's contest stories and preparing for the John Moyle Field Day next weekend, I started wondering about Aussie contests and what it's like for us here in Western Australia. Some of the things that impact on us here in WA also impact on stations in the Northern Territory and far north Queensland. Before we talk about those things, however, this is not a whinge. It's a commentary on what we face and the decisions we should make as contest entrants. There are difficulties inbuilt into any amateur radio contest that is Australia-wide. Around 80% of Australia's population lives on the southeast corner of the country. That would be from Sunshine Coast around to Western Victoria somewhere, with most of them crammed into New South Wales and Victoria. We'll assume that the amateur population follows the general population numerically. Fickle propagation will kill any chance of someone on our side of the country making a good go of it. That's just bad luck and we can't change it. There are things that can be changed. Some will require a huge shift in thinking, and others can be done by the stroke of a pen. If you look at the results of the 2021 John Moyle contest and look at which bands earned the most points, you'll get a picture of what goes on. There's no surprise that 70 centimetres and 2 metres, and to a lesser extent 6 metres, were the point scorers there. In the HF bands, 40 metres was the big scorer. 6,900 out of 10,900 contacts and the contest on HF were on 40 metres. So that's way over halfway, getting closer to three quarters. When you look at the table of contacts made by band by call prefix, it's clear that the bulk of contacts made by VK2, 3 and 4 stations were on 40 metres. In Western Australia, the bands making the most contacts were 2 metres and 80 metres. That points to a lot of local contacts. I suppose the playing field could be levelled by excluding 40 metres from the contest, but I think that would cause an uproar. Before going further, I'll point out that it's not impossible for WA stations to do well in an Aussie contest. However, a large part of that is carefully choosing which category to enter and making the most of the bands that are running. I came second in my category last year, single operator, portable, phone, in the John Moyle contest. I'm not sure what can be done to get the crowd in the southeast of the country to utilise bands other than 40 metres, but 40 metres is where they stay, and many a VK6 station has complained that they can't break in to make contacts. Possibly some incentives to work a broader range of prefixes and bands would open up the contest, maybe a distance-based scoring system, 1 point for up to 1,500 kilometres, 2 for more than 1,500, or something like that. Or introduce a system that requires band changes. I don't know. Something that could easily be addressed is to introduce incentives to operate the station right through to the closing time on Sunday. So many stations, and especially on the East Coast, pack up and go home on Sunday mornings, many hours before the contest ends. How about triple points for the last 4 hours? What is certain, though, is that the conversations about the contest should happen. The questions should be asked. Is there something we can change to encourage broader participation in the Aussie contests? It would be a good conversation to have. I'm Bob VK6POP.
Next weekend is the John Moyle Memorial Field Day, and Robert, the News West producer, is playing in this contest, running a station with our club call sign, Victor Kilo 6, Alpha Robert November. In order to be able to have his portable station up and running for the 9 a.m. start on Saturday, he needs to set up on Friday. So, to free up Friday, we need to impose an earlier deadline for contributions to News West, so that it can be compiled, published, and promoted by the end of Thursday. The deadline for News West is noon Thursday, the 17th of March, and there can't be any exemptions because Robert is going bush on Friday. Please send your news items as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
At a WA Amateur Radio News Committee meeting during the week, we resolved to commence planning for Perth Tech to be conducted on the weekend 21st to 23rd of October this year. We're going for the same format that we planned for 2021. We're counting, of course, on COVID restrictions being all but gone by then, and we'll be able to invite a full program of presenters from across the country. Now here's something for those people who believe that News West and RASA are the anti-WIA demons of the amateur radio scene in Australia. Listen up. We've already invited the current president of the Wireless Institute of Australia to Perth Tech, and he's keen to come. We've also invited the president of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia to Perth Tech, and he's keen to come. Now this is nothing new. Both presidents have met at amateur radio events before now. Both talk to each other regularly. Yet we still have this hard core of liars in our community who insist that News West and RASA are anti-WIA. Those same people probably don't listen to News West. So can I ask you a favour? If you know one of those closed-minded people, will you tell them, please? Because they're poisoning amateur radio with their bile. Let me say it again, just in case they're listening, or perhaps you've been misled by their invective, we are not anti-WIA. There's a couple of board members who, if they're honest about it, should resign. There are people around the centre of the WIA with nasty attitudes and shonky ways of expressing them. They are what we are anti. They are the ones we try to expose, and they know it because they push back harder by wielding the little bits of power that they have against us. Most of you never see that stuff happening, but it happens. I'm happy to meet with anyone over a coffee if you want to find out more, or just ask me some questions. I've got no vested interest in the outcomes for the Wireless Institute of RASA, apart from being a member of both, and I care for how they go. I want the bastardry to stop, and I want those who deny that the bastardry exists to wake up and have the conversations, because you're prolonging the damage to the WIA and RASA.
This is News West from VK6ARN. Produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Good morning, folks. This is Roy VK, 6X-ray Victor, with this week's helpline, the 13th of March 2022. And today, things are on the up. We have got some new items for you today. First off, looking for a challenge is Neil, VK6 November Sierra Bravo. He set himself a challenge to get hold of a Kenwood 830 mic. This radio has AM mode on it. If you have a Kenwood TS830M for mic and would like to part with it, please contact Neil. He is looking for this and he reckons it might be a bit of a challenge to find one. Let's hope he can do. His email address is as follows: Kilo Echo November Whiskey Oscar Delta Figure 520@hotmail.com. That spells Kenwood 520@hotmail.com. And he says, real radios glow in the dark. At least you can see where they've been and probably keep your feet warm in the winter. Next item, I have a free item from Clive, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whiskey. He has an old Philips 814 Alpha 50-watt FM transmitter to give away. If it doesn't get given away, he will scrap it. It's a clean, unmodified unit, very nice mains-powered 13-volt nominal 10-amp linear power supply inbuilt, conservatively rated mains transformer. The power supply RF output transistor mounted on a massive heat sink, which is probably worth quite a bit itself. Ideal for someone wanting to build a linear power supply or could use for a 2-meter RF amplifier, maybe. Any interested party, please contact Clive, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whiskey. His email address is as follows, Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com. Once again, pencils ready, Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com. Don't delay or it might go to the recycling depot straight away. Please contact Clive. 73 says Clive. Next item, we're looking for a Yaesu Fox Tango 880 Romeo, an 8800 dual band transceiver with 2 meters preferably still working, and with an input output audio plug. If you can't help with an 880 Romeo, please any 2 meter rig with an audio input and output plug, preferably on a 6-pin DIN, please contact Ken, VK6 Charlie Oscar, 0412-941024. That's Ken, VK6 Charlie Oscar, 0412-941024. And on to the next item. We have available today a Yaesu Fox Tango 60 dual band handheld transceiver and plus battery charger. Has a cracked screen but operationally okay. $15. Is a Yaesu Fox Tango 70 Bravo dual band handheld radio, no charger, has a broken battery clip but functionally good. $15. Is a Digitech marine handheld radio plus battery charger, also $15. A 2 meter pogo type antenna mounted on a TV J pole, $20 for that. There's a 70-centimeter pogo-type antenna on TV mounted, J-pole mast, $20. All items are surplus to requirement, and package price, all items, $75. There's a bargain. Contact 0488-063-856. 0488-063-856. Please leave a message if it's unattended. It's Anthony, VK6 Uniform Sierra, for all those items. And previously we were looking for some valves by COSA. That's Charlie Oscar Sierra Sierra Echo Romeo. Looking for a 215 Sierra Golf 4-pin base screw top cap. And one only 210 Romeo Golf 4-pin base. Available any age but working, please. Contact Ron, VK6 Alpha Romeo Echo. His phone number is 0477-662-817. 0477-662-817 or 0408-251-498. And that's, my friends, is all for me today. Please, if you have any items and would like to log in for next week, please contact me, VK6XRayVictor at bigpond.com. Cheers for now, 73.
Thanks for listening. Next week we're into history of amateur radio, and as we've told you already, we're working to an early deadline for next weekend's News West. The deadline is noon Thursday. Especially if you're sending a script for a team member to record, the sooner you send it, the better. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors and to the team this week, Roy, VK6XV, Andrew, VK6AS, Mike, VK6KMS, and guest presenter Chris, VK3QB. I look forward to hearing lots of you on air for the John Moyle next weekend. These Aussie contests are a bit like class reunions. You catch up with mostly the same crowd each year. But it's great to hear new ones. A quick look at the Solar Flux Index shows that it's been rising over the last several days. So, after callbacks, the best thing you can do is to get on air and make some noise.